الحمد لله الذي خلق كل شيء فقدره تقديرا، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله سبحانه وتعالى عما يقولون علوا كبيرا، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله سماه ربه في القرآن سراجا منيرا صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. All praise is due to Allah who created everything and measured it exactly according to its due measurements. And I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah. Exalted and glorified is He above what they ascribe to Him. Far beyond what they ascribe to Him, from having partners or having a son or having children such as the angels being His daughters, Azza wa Jal. And I bear witness that Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, is His servant and His messenger. Allah called him in the Quran a spreading light, because he illuminated sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the light and the darknesses. The light of the Quran and the Sunnah. The light of guidance when the people were upon misguidance. The light of the right path when people were traveling on the wrong path. The light that Allah Azza wa Jalla had made me and you followers of. The light of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah send His peace and His blessings upon him, exalt His mention and that of His companions and anyone who follows them on their righteous path until the day of judgment. Brothers in Islam, Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah says, interpretation of the meaning in English, perhaps you may hate something and it is good for you, and perhaps you may love something and it is bad for you or evil for you. Verily, Allah knows and you know not. This particular verse in Surah Al-Baqarah is one of the fundamental principles in Islam. If we truly understand as believers that the things that we hate might come in the things that we love, and the things that we love might come in the things that we hate, we will never feel secure that hardship will come through pleasure. And we will never despair from pleasure coming through things that may appear to be full of hardship. If it's not making sense to you, let me strike an example. Perhaps it will clarify. Salatul Jama'ah, the prayer and congregation for the Muslim men. And the emphasis here is on the word men, al-rijal. Now, this seems to always conflict with business and money. Here in this particular country, to a certain extent, they close down the shops. You got almost no choice but to come to the masjid, because the system helps you. In other countries, you may be coming from one of them, this is not the case. At Salah time, the business is running. You may own the business, you may be working at the business. The shaitan will come and try to beautify for you the concept that you, right now you are in need of money, so you have no time to attend for the Salah. Salah in the Jama'ah becomes something that is hated by you, although all goodness lies within. Because Allah Azza wa Jal has praised the brothers who established the Salah in the Masajid. فِي بُيُوتٍ أَذِنَ اللَّهُ أَن تُرْفَعْ وَيُذْكَرَ فِيهَا اسْمُهُ يُسَبِّحُ لَهُ فِيهَا بِالْغُدُوِّ وَالْآصَالِ رِجَالٍ لا تليهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة يخافون يوما تتقلب فيه القلوب والأبصار. When Allah spoke the place of worship for Muslims, Allah Azza wa Jalla said, in houses which Allah allowed for them to be risen, raised in terms of structure, constructing the building, and raised in terms of spirituality by remembering Allah. Allah said, in it, Allah's name is being remembered in the morning and in the evening. By who? By men. Not women, not children, and not half men. More feminine. He said, by men who nor business or trade, selling and buying, distracts them from the remembrance of Allah and establishing the salah and paying the zakah. Why? They are afraid of a day in which the hearts and the eyes will be overturned from the greatness of the Day of Judgment. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith of Ibn Umar, Salatul jama'ati tafdulu salatul fadhi bi 27 daraja. The salah in a congregation exceeds the reward of that done individually by 27 times. When you come to the house of Allah, my brothers, to pray in the jama'ah, you are getting 27 times the reward of you praying at home. Let me give you another worldly example. If they have some sort of sale at any one of these stores out there, you buy one toothpaste, we will give you 27 for free. You buy one t-shirt, we will give you 27 for free. You buy one pair of shoes, we will give you 27 for free. All of us will be standing in line before Fajr at the store. All of us. Hey, it's a good deal. I pay for one toothpaste, you give me 27? I may never need to buy toothpaste again until I die. This is called a good deal. Discount. So we will all hasten and run. But you tell the brother there's 27 times the salah reward in the masjid. He says, it's okay, akhi. I'll just pray at home like the women do. I got plenty of good deeds. I don't need Allah to multiply my salah by 27 times. I am self-sufficient. You hear this from people. These are brothers who did not understand this particular ayah. These are brothers who don't understand that you may hate something, but it is good for you. And you may love something, business, money, and it is bad for you. So Allah knows and you know not. So with that we understand a particular benefit or wisdom from this ayah. That there is nothing better than following the commandments of Allah, even if they may be difficult in the beginning, because the result is going to be happiness, success, and satisfaction. And there is nothing worse than disobeying Allah and committing the prohibitions and the violations, because in it there will be sadness and calamities and difficulties. So those who are short-sighted, who don't look too far, they will only look at the surface. If the thing appears to be interesting and good in the front, so they will go for it, not looking beyond that. But Allah gave us a brain which is able to make that particular distinction. We know that we want to get a little pain for a long-lasting pleasure. And we will avoid some minor pain for a long-lasting pleasure. And we will get some pleasure in order to avoid the longer pain. This is the job of our brains. This is why when your son is suffering from some sort of disease, you take him to the doctor and you allow him to give him a shot. Now under normal circumstances, you will not put a needle to your son. But because you understand that goodness lies within this particular shot or vaccination, then you will allow it to take place. Likewise, if you someone told you that if you put your hand on this particular burning fire, there's a special sensation you will feel. But then the result is you're gonna burn your hand. The person who has the right mind will not go for this temporary pleasure because he does not want to deal with the pain afterwards. So those who understand, they see the prohibitions as if they are a cake with poison inside. A cake with poison inside. These are the limitations of Allah. So every time your soul asks you to go and eat from this cake, you remind yourself that there is poison inside, so you avoid it in order for you to protect yourself. And the people of virtue and understanding, they see the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal as a medicine, even if they taste foul. So every time your soul tells you, oh, don't have this medicine, it doesn't taste good, you will go for it because you know that cure and wellness lies within. This is one wisdom or benefits we understand from this particular verse. Secondly, we should accept the decree of Allah. For you to become a Muslim, you must have believed in the six pillars of faith. Being among them, to believe in the preordainment of Allah, the good and the evil therein. You must believe in both. So when you know that things that appear to be a certain way may be the other way around, you will always be satisfied with the decree of Allah, with the qadr. You may want to go on vacation, and Allah decrees that there are no more flights. They're all booked. And you may grieve inside, and you may have problems and difficulties, and you complain, but I wanted to see my family, but Allah knows that had you went on this particular vacation, you were going to go astray, or some problem was going to occur to you. So Allah protected you from that by depriving you from traveling to begin with. Now you don't know that. Allah knows that. But if you truly believe, you will always behave in this fashion, where whatever happens to you, you say Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, perhaps it is some evil that Allah Azza wa Jalla is protecting me from. This is the true position of the true believer. We don't complain and, you know, beat ourselves as some people do when someone dies or when a calamity befalls. We are patient. Sabr. We have patience for the sake of Allah. Thirdly, we should not ask Allah of things, because we may ask of something that will destroy us. You may tell Allah that you want to drive a Mercedes, but Allah knows that if you get this Mercedes, you will be too busy to worship Him. So don't ask for things that may be destructive. Rather, the sunnah is that you ask Allah to give you what is good for you. Ask Allah to give you what is good for you. Don't be particular about what you want. This is why the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught his nation, including me and you, Salatul Istikhara. Jabir ibn Abdullah, may Allah be pleased with him, narrated in the hadith by Bukhari. قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يعلمنا الاستخارة في الأمور كلها كما يعلمنا السورة من القرآن فيقول إذا هم أحدكم بالأمر فليركع ركعتين دون الفريضة ثم ليقول اللهم إني أستخيرك بعلمك وأستقدرك بقدرتك وأسألك من فضلك العظيم فإنك تقدر ولا أقدر وتعلم ولا أعلم وأنت علام الغيوب اللهم إن كنت تعلم أن هذا الأمر ويسميه خير لي في ديني ومعاشي وعاقبة أمري فاقدره لي ويسره لي ثم بارك لي فيه وإن كنت تعلم أن هذا الأمر شر لي في ديني ومعاشي وعاقبة أمري فاصرفه عني واصرفني عنه وفد لي الخير حيث كان ثم رضني به وفي رواية ثم أرضني به. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told me and you, if one of you intends on doing something, if you have a will to do something, you want to get married to a particular sister, he said let him pray two rak'ahs, non-obligatory, not part of fajr, any two nafila, tahiyyat al-masjid or the likes. Then let him say the following: O Allah, I seek your guidance through your knowledge to guide me to the right choice. And I seek you through your power to give me the power to do it. Because verily you know and I know not. And you are able and I am unable. And you are the knower of all of the unseen. O Allah, if you know that this particular affair, and then you mention it, marrying this sister is good for me in my religion, in my living, and in my final destiny, so decree it for me, and facilitate it for me, and bless me with it. And if you know that this particular affair is evil for me, in my religion, and in my living, and in my final destiny, then turn me away from it, and turn it away from me, and decree for me that which is pleasing to you, wherever it may be, and make me satisfied and content with it. This particular sunnah from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is something that we are expected to implement in our lives, my brothers in Islam. Whenever you want to make a decision, whether you want to buy a car, or get married, or accept a new job, or leave a job, or travel, or come, or go, anything you want to do, which you do not know, you have the intention to do it, then you pray Salatul Istikhara. And you make this particular dua, that way whatever happens will be from Allah. And you will not complain afterwards. When you ask Allah to make it happen for you, if it happens, then Allah is pleased with it. If it doesn't work out, then Allah is saving you from a greater evil. And some people have a misconception about istikhara, that you have to see something in your dream. You don't have to see nothing in your dream. If you see something, that is one of the forms, and it's very rare. The asl is that it is either facilitated or it's not. For example, you want to go back home for vacation, and you do salat al-istikhara, then you call the travel agency and they tell you, we have no more flights, no seats on the plane. This is the answer for your istikhara. Don't wait for nothing in your dream. Allah gave you the answer. It was not facilitated, because you asked in your dua for Allah to facilitate it for you. This particular act of worship was established by the Sahaba of the Prophet ﷺ, even if one of them was going to buy a garment. Before he would buy a garment, he would make this particular dua in order for Allah Azza wa Jal to bless him in his choice. Because me and you, we don't know. And Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who has the ultimate knowledge of the seen and the unseen. I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to give us understanding of the deen and make us among those who implement the sunnah of his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. Brothers in Islam, Abu Salama, may Allah be pleased with him, asked Aisha, the wife of the Messenger Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. He asked her, and the hadith was narrated by Muslim, how was the fasting of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? She said, he used to fast until we would think that he would never break his fast. And he used to break his fast until we would think that he would never fast. What is intended, he would do it, sometimes he would fast and sometimes he would not. Both ways appear that he's either always fasting or always breaking his fast. This is from the barakah that Allah Azza wa Jal has given his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then she said, and I have never seen him fast a whole month, except other than Ramadan, except Sha'ban. Then she said, he used to fast a whole month except a few days. In a couple of days, perhaps tonight or tomorrow will be the beginning of Sha'ban. It is the sunnah to fast in the month of Sha'ban. You don't fast a whole month, but you try to fast as much as you are able to. Now, if you begin fasting from the beginning of the month, then you may continue until the end. Otherwise, there's a hadith on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, narrated by At-Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah and Abu Dawood, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا انْتَصَفَ شَعْبَانَ فَلَا تَصُومُ. If the middle of Sha'ban passes, do not fast. The scholar, in order to bring a relation between both narrations, they said, if you begin the fasting from the beginning of Sha'ban and the middle of it comes, you may continue to fast until the end of Sha'ban, of course avoiding the last night before Ramadan. But if you did not fast in the beginning of Sha'ban, do not begin fasting from the middle going on until Ramadan. That is the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's one thing I wanted to share with you. Another one is the issue of kusuf, the solar eclipse. It seems to be mentioned in the news that it is expected to be taking place today. The sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that when that takes place, we worship Allah and we pray to Him until it is removed. Because this is something that Allah fear makes His servants fear Him, through these two signs of Allah, Ash-Shamsu wal-Qamar. And they do not do an eclipse for the life of anyone or for the death of anyone. So when we see that, if we do see the eclipse, if you see it with your own eye, then it is a sunnah for us to establish salah. A brother will say, As-salatu jami'a. The salah will gather everyone. Then you will pray the following salah. The imam will call the takbir and will recite Ala Surah Al-Fatiha, then a long surah, preferably Surah Al-Baqarah or something of this length. Then we'll say Allahu Akbar, make ruku'. Then in the ruku' we'll do the required dua, dhikr. Then we'll get up, say Sami' Allahu liman hadida. Then you say Rabbana wa lakal hamd. Now here, he does not go for sujood. Rather, he recites Surah Al-Fatiha again, And he reads another long surah like Surah Al Imran. You with me? Then we go for ruku' again. Then we get up from ruku'. Then we go for sujood. A long sujood. Then we sit down. We don't make the sitting between the two sujoods long. Then we go for another long sujood. That's the first rak'ah. The second rak'ah should be exactly identical in terms of how we do it. This is what was established from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the salah of the solar or the lunar eclipse, which is expected to be today. So it is recommended that we establish this particular salah, whether in this masjid or any other masjid, in order to revive the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who used to become scared when the solar eclipse will take place, because this may be the punishment of Allah azza wa jal. This may be the punishment of Allah azza wa jal. So I remind myself and you brothers to take part in this particular salah. If it is established in any masjid that you know, go for it. And ask Allah to remove and alleviate the difficulties from the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to pardon us for our shortcomings, and to forgive us our sins, and to join us again in a place better than this one, in the house of Allah azza wa jal, in Jannah, near to Him and the companions and the prophets and all the righteous people. Wa jazakumullahu khayran wa aqimus salah.